Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Barr, broadcasting today from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. And just as I started speaking now, the studio has started to light up, and that always tells me there's lots of angels around. So I'm so happy we have a crowded studio today. I've always told my people here at the studio that if they wanted to save on their electricity bills, they should just invite angels to light up much of the facilities and they'd save on their bills. But anyway, they are here today. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this world a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area, with over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. And I just want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. From 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., we'll be having my good friend Simon Parks live from England on the show. We're having a little trouble getting him now, so we'll send him some emails, and hopefully we can reach him before too long. During the next hour, from about 3 to 3:30 p.m., I'll be inviting Marie Thorne Thompson from Santa Barbara, California. She's had an amazing experience recently. She was videotaping Pleiadian ships outside of her home when what appeared was a reptilian UFO. It looks like something out of Batman. It actually looks like a flying bat, but it was orange-colored. They have a different propulsion system than the Pleiadian craft, and it did show up, and we've got a video of that on my Facebook post and also on my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. You can look at the description for that as well and find the link. And then the other video that she's got is a video of a reptilian craft shapeshifting into a Black Hawk helicopter. Now, that's amazing. You'll see if you watch the video, and again, you can go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. And click on that, you'll see this flashing, the helicopter starts flashing a big, bright, white light several times. And I talked to Q about that earlier this week, and he said that was indicative of the craft itself shape-shifting from its true form, which is a reptilian craft, into a what looks to be like a Black Hawk helicopter. But you'll see there, I don't think anyone has ever videotaped a shape-shifting reptilian craft before, but anyway, it's interesting to look at, and I'd love your opinions on it. I'll have a lot more to say during the second half of the 3 to 4 hour. I want to thank everyone so much for their support, especially Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their beautiful support, as well as my good friends in Costa Rica, Mary and Elias, Bradley and Jim in London, England, Jan Erik and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who helped me raise consciousness to make this world a much better and happier place. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show. Any advertising on the show will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 90 countries with over 250,000 listeners. And I want to thank everyone so much for their wonderful support. With that, I'd also like to thank my dear friend Carol, who designs my website, provides wonderful support. My friends in the Galactic Alliance, who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, of course, KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a new spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones and who've passed on, or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also call me in the United States on my cell at 509-750-9793, or toll free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. On behalf of the Hopi Indians, I'd like to thank everyone for their generous support for their new library. The Hopi do not even have their own functioning library, so I've decided to help them raise the money, books, and computers to help establish one. I've already received some wonderful support and free books from various people, including a gentleman named Mr. Manoti Lombardi in New Jersey. And thank you, Mr. Lombardi, so much for your wonderful support, for donating your books. If you'd like to donate, to make a donation, please contact me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. And I know that if we all work together, we can create a much better and happier world. I'm also continuing to raise funds for clean water for both the Hopi and Navajo Indians. For the past 70 years, believe it or not, both the Hopi and Navajo have been drinking carcinogenic radioactive water as part of their drinking water. What's amazing, if you go down to the Hopi Reservation in Arizona, they have a beautiful federally funded hospital there. And all the hospital staff and the doctors and nurses all drink clean water from a reverse osmosis plant within the hospital. However, you walk across the road 500 yards and there's a public well for local Hopi Indians there, and that's where they get their drinking water. But the water, unfortunately, is completely contaminated with radiation and arsenic. They made an effort back in 2015, the Hopi did, to try to get the federal government to pay for clean water, but the federal government refused. So anyway, I wanted to let you know, for only $125, a new clean water filter can be purchased for either the Hopi or the Navajo so they can have clean water without arsenic and radiation for years. If you'd like to donate to this worthy effort, it goes through the Clean Water Foundation of Washington, and it is nonprofit. And you also get a tax deduction as well for your contribution. Please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'd like for everyone to please say more prayers for the Amazon, which produces 20% of the world's oxygen. I know if we send lots of love and light to the Amazon, we will be able to stop these fires. I also urge you to ask the Pleiadians and also the Galactic Alliance to help stop these fires. There are now over 2 million Pleiadian ships circling the Earth to help us in the ascension of this planet. I know they will help the Amazon fires if we ask them. The fires in California have largely stopped, although Marie Thorne Thompson will be coming on in just a few minutes, a minute or two here, to talk about that. We're still trying to reach Simon in England for today's show. Simon, if you're there, please call into the studio. We'd love to talk to you. I'll also send him an email now as well. Sometimes his communications are out. Sometimes he doesn't have electricity. Sometimes his internet's knocked out. So if we can't reach Simon today, I'm sure I'll hear from him eventually, and then we'll have him on my next show. I wanted to tell everyone just a couple of quick things. My next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be March 13th, 14th, and 15th, 2020. And 2020. And I want to point out to everyone, I've said this before, but the year 2020, if you think in terms of eyesight, that means you can see clearly. And I think this next year will be a time when everybody will be able to see clearly. If you register at our website before the end of December, you can go to the entire conference for $125 or $75 a day. That's about 40-45% off the regular registration price. After January 1st, the price goes up to $197 or $100 a day. And if you're a vendor, a table for the entire conference just costs $100. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. We're going to be having some amazing people there in person. Simon Parks in person from England. He said he's going to come, as well as James Redfield in person. He's the author of the famous book, The Celestine Prophecy, as well as Alex Collier. Alex is a contactee from the Andromeda Galaxy, as well as, of course, Michiko Hayashi of the wonderful Emoto Peace Project and many other wonderful people. If you'd like to register, please go to our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And then twice next year, from January 23rd to February 7th, and again from May 17th to June 5th, 2020, I'll be taking a small group of people to Peru, including Machu Picchu. I'll explain just quickly about the trip in a minute, but I have a new addition to the trip. Well, in addition to visiting Machu Picchu, Pisac, Ollantaytambo, Cusco, the Sacred Valley, the Nazca Lines, and the Paracas Museum, which has hybrid human extraterrestrial skulls, and meeting local shaman, we'll also be meeting a wonderful lady named Maria Vasquez, or Marcela Vasquez. Marcela has had for the last 15, 20 years, she's had constant contact with a group of people from the Andromeda Galaxy in person, as well as seeing their many spaceships. And she's promised to link up with us when we are in Peru in January, or February, actually. So this is going to be an amazing opportunity. Also, when we go to Machu Picchu, I've been told by my friends in the Hollow Earth that I will be going in. And for those of you who are high vibration, in a positive mood, you can come along with me if you like. At Machu Picchu, they've told me how to go into the Hollow Earth. In addition, Peru is a beautiful place, The cost is only $497 with airfare and accommodations extra. And I hope you can come. This trip is starting to fill up. So if you do want to come, please let me know. In addition, there will be a Buddhist, a Tibetan Buddhist monk coming with us as well. He's an amazing guy, and he has his own viewpoint of things, and I know you'll find him fascinating. If you can't make January, February, we'll be going back in the end of May through early June. After that, we have tentatively planned a trip to Iceland as well from June 10th to June, I believe it's 20th, 21st. During that trip, we will be meeting elves and people who have been in contact with elves in Iceland. It's a spiritual trip. They actually have, this is fascinating, but in Iceland, they actually have a government minister who administers relations, who is the interface between the humans who live in Iceland and these elves who live in these rock outcroppings in another dimension. And before they, for example, plan a new road in Iceland, they have to get permission of the elves and the other people from the other of this other world, which I find just fascinating. So we'll be having lots of interactions, and I hope to we will be meeting the elves there in Iceland, so I hope you can come. Finally, I will be going back to Mount Shasta twice next year, from July 1st to the 8th, and again from August 27th to September 3rd. We've had miracle healings happening now at Mount Shasta almost every year, every time we've gone there since 2016. Also, we've seen Sasquatch on nearly every trip, UFOs flying around on nearly every trip, and always met the people of Telos and the Hollow Earth as well. It's a very magical and special place. One of the things that Zora of the Hollow Earth told me a few months ago, he said that Mount Shasta will be one of the first places shifting into the fifth dimension by July of 2020, and our visit will be from July 1st to the 8th. So when we are there when Shasta does shift into the fifth dimension, we meditate and go into the Hollow Earth that way. Some of us go in physically. But what will happen, I'm told by my friends in the Hollow Earth, that they will actually be physically walking around with us at our campsite in July of 2020. So if you'd like to come on a trip that's truly going to be out of this world, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The trip is starting to fill up. And so if you are interested, please contact me soon. Finally, Christine Light will be giving a 20% discount for all her harmonizers from now till Christmas on December 25th. I have a harmonizer myself, and it really helps to neutralize dirty electricity and help protect you from the new 5G cell towers. If you like, please visit her website at www.quickrestoreharmonizer.com. And finally, this is my last little announcement before we go to my guest. There's an amazing product out. I had Zora and Billy Faye Woodard talking about it a week or two ago, called Liquid Gold, and it's from quantum physics. And you spray it, you take it, and it helps you heal on the quantum level. As you know, last month I had bronchitis and pneumonia, and after they sent me a bottle of this product, and I've been taking it, and it's really helped me bring my energy back. And I want to thank them so much for that. If you're interested in checking out their website, please go to www.liquidgoldrx.com/Tedmar. That's my name. Or you can call 1-800-557-7033. I just want to check with my producer, Nathan. Thank you so much for being here today, Nathan. Have you been able to reach Simon at all? No. Okay. We will continue to try to reach Simon. Maybe the electricity's out, or the internet's out. And I hope Simon's well. Simon, if you're listening, I hope you're doing well, my friend, and we'll catch you the next time. But we'll continue to try to reach Simon during this first hour, because he's scheduled now, and I hope he's okay. With that, I'll bring on my 3 o'clock guest early, Marie Thorne Thompson. Marie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Ted. Thanks. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. It was quite a drive up here today. There were 3 or 4 accidents on my way up to the studio. I was doing some errands, running around in the Seattle area, and I had to get back here for the program. And I feel sorry every time I run across if there's a delay and there's an accident. I always send prayers to the people involved, and I hope they're okay. But it's good to be here. I almost didn't make it. I was delayed quite a bit by traffic, and I just got here a few minutes before the program started. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. But it's so good to have you on. Thanks for being flexible and coming on an hour early. Marie was scheduled for 3 o'clock, but we'll just move her interview up to this time because we can't seem to reach our friends. Our friend Simon. Anyway, Marie, tell people a little bit about your background, and then we'll talk about these amazing recent videos that you were able to take, you know, pictures of these ships recently at.
Sure. Primarily, my main point of focus and passion is yoga. I've been a practitioner for 30 years, and I teach as well for the last 11 years. So that I think was an avenue of consciousness and dimensions, and through that, I began to see first physical ships, and then I thought I would start to video and take photographs of them. I love photography as well, and so I started to do that, and started to get some pretty incredible footage. And from there, you know, I've always been open and, you know, privy to, or let's just say a truth seeker
right.
in all areas of our world. So this was another avenue that just kind of started to open up, and I began to explore. The photographs continued to get clearer. My main questions were, who are you and what are you all doing here? And slowly I've been getting having images and dreams of the actual beings that are piloting these ships, and having a little bit more of a connection and contact via, combination of telepathic and just guided to the right information at the right time for the questions that I have.
Oh, good.
So it's been a really exciting and kind of curious journey, and it's all been very benevolent, all of the highest, you know, vibrations, all for the good of our world, of Earth, of our future. And so my experience and message is nothing but positive, nothing but hope, nothing but get ready for some future good times. You know, along with that, as you and I have already discussed, there's been a few situations where, I think because my camera's in the sky a lot, I'm catching the good guys, and I'm also catching a few of the negatives, which I'm realizing and discovering. And it's not on purpose. It's an accident on my fault. However, probably no accident on theirs. And so that's been an interesting experience, just sort of being aware of that and then kind of moving to re-empower myself and our community and to instill the help of the positives, right, to help. This is their job. I feel like this is their kind of police station, and help clean that out. And I feel that has in fact happened.
Wonderful.
So that's good.
Wonderful. Let's cover the reptilian craft that you saw. That was orange. It looks like a Batman. I posted it on. I have to tell you a funny story. You've got two videos. The one of the reptilian craft flying along like something out of Batman. It looks
right.
like a bat.
I know.
And my friends in the Galactic Alliance have told me that the propulsion systems used by the reptilians are mercury-based, and the propulsion systems make their spacecrafts look either a red tint or an orange tint. So you got the orange one. And they're different from the Pleiadian propulsion systems. I don't know how, but I guess I could ask them. But anyway, they're different propulsion systems according to the different star systems. And so they use a mercury-based propulsion system, and so that's what you photographed. But you also photographed a second video where you had this Black Hawk helicopter circling your house, right? And
correct.
Go ahead and tell a little bit about that, and then I'll explain a couple more things to my listeners.
I don't know. I think I was just in the house cooking or something, and I felt the vibration, the thumping, literally, of like a helicopter. It felt like it was going to land on the house. And so I just walked outside to see what was going on. And there was that copter. And it scared me in the sense that it was so low and it was weird. You know, it kind of had tinted windows, so I couldn't see inside. And so I went back inside. But I thought, shoot, if this thing goes around again, I'm going to get my camera, my phone, and I'm going to video it. And sure enough, it did. And so I ran out. I just got that little clip, although it had gone around once or twice. I think that was the second loop there. And then and then it went to the mountain. And it just kind of shook me because it was just black. And, you know, and it was close. Mm-hmm. And it normally, I know that with flight patterns, you're not allowed to go low unless you've kind of got some business. And so, I don't know. It's sort of interesting.
Well, I remember I sent that video off to Q, and he said that it was a shape-shifting reptilian craft. And you can tell, because if you watch the video, the whole helicopter gets involved in this kind of white light, big bright white light. And it's more than I thought at first it might be the sun reflecting, but not the whole helicopter. And he said that that's the technology they use. He also told me some very interesting things. He says that what the reptilians do in their shape-shifting technology, like in a craft that they've got on this planet, they want to shape-shift to make it look like a helicopter, like in your case, or or a military plane. They'll use cameras, sensors in the front of the of their craft, and they'll project the image in a hologram, a holographic image to the other side. So they can make you look like you're looking at blue sky, for example, or a helicopter, or a U.S. Air Force plane, as an example. That, of course, goes into the chemtrails because I'm told by my galactic friends that many of the so-called airplanes flying around this planet, which we see dumping chemtrails, aren't from this planet. They're instead reptilian craft, which have shape-shifted to look like U.S. military craft, and they're actually terraforming the planet with chemicals to make planet Earth more friendly to their species and less friendly to ours. I'll get into the specifics of that. So I've got some scientific studies that I had done on the composition of chemtrails and how it relates to the home planet of Draco of the reptilians. They're terraforming the planet to make Earth's atmosphere identical to their own planet. They can't spend a long time on planet Earth right now because it's too oxygen rich. But hey, if you burn up 20% of the world's oxygen supply in the Amazon, which is what the Amazon produces, then you're going to have less oxygen here on planet Earth, and you're going to make it an ideal place for a species like the reptilian, which lives in an atmosphere devoid of oxygen, but it's full of barium, strontium, sulfur, and aluminum particles, which is what exactly it's being sprayed in the chemtrails here on this planet. Anyway, go ahead and tell us a little bit about what you saw and how you got the videotape for both the reptilian craft and the shape-shifting.
Well, the helicopter shapeshifter, that was what I had just explained. I got it around the corner. And then that was that. It went away. There were some military helicopters that had flown by minutes afterwards. Right. And, again, I thought that was, for me, that just was a little reaffirming in the sense of, to me, it felt like protection, a little more protection.
Right.
So there were several of those, like, big green military helicopter that went by after that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, sometimes I just go out and I point and I video or shoot, and it's interesting what comes out of the video sometimes.
Right.
And it's just like looking up, you know, just having that awareness to just do it.
Can I?
Go ahead.
I just want to share this with you and my listeners. The reptilians are very technologically advanced. And I'll give you an example of that. When I posted your YouTube video on both the Batman-like craft that you'd videotaped, and also the shape-shifting reptilian craft that transformed itself magically into a black helicopter, in both your videos, as soon as I hit the post button on Facebook, my whole Facebook screen froze, went blank, then I was able to get it back on, and guess what happened?
What?
Right? The whole screen was not written in English anymore. I'm an English speaker. Instead, it was all in French.
Oh, you're kidding.
And it took me six, seven hours to get it back to English again. I mean, mind you, I love France. People there are beautiful. They have the most beautiful language in the entire world. So for those French speakers listening, I have nothing against French language. I think it's beautiful, one of the world's most beautiful languages. But the problem I had, of course, is that I don't speak French, and I think it was just a little bit of a jab by the reptilians to make me upset. It didn't make me upset. I thought it was kind of funny in a way. At least they didn't pick Hindi. I like India and Hindi, but I speak some Hindi. But, you know, if they transformed my site into Hindi, I guess I would have managed. It took me a while to figure out what to do to change the language settings. But I changed it back to English. I'm okay now. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
That's funny.
Anyway, yeah. Yeah. But, what happened?
Well.
Yeah. And then when you also have a videotape of the fire coming up to your house. Now, you've been making lots of videos of the Pleiadian ships around and also of the reptilian craft around. And then tell us a little bit about the fires and how this one fire just appeared spontaneously coming right at your house and what happened. And what happened the next day, too?
It did. So it was just interesting. Uh-huh. We live in the foothills, and so, again, as Californians, most of us are fairly used to having fires, and those
right.
of us that are in the foothills are used to having fires because
right.
they just happen with the power lines and so forth.
Right.
However, everything has already burned, and there was literally, just a very, very small section of mountain above our neighborhood that had not burned. And the next day after those helicopters in the middle, well, let's say 4 o'clock is when it happened, a fire ignited up on the hill. And coincidentally, we were having 50 miles per hour wind.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those downdrafts, the very warm winds and mm-hmm. so forth. And so the fire blew straight down the mountain within 2 hours. And then, luckily, the wind shifted,
uh-huh.
and here's where it all starts to change.
Right, okay.
The wind shifted a mm-hmm. completely different, it shifted east. Hmm. And so no longer was the fire coming down toward town or the neighborhood. Now it was shifting across the mountains where mm-hmm. it had already burned a year or two ago, and there wasn't much fuel left anymore. Hmm. So the fire shifted, and then the following day, we'll see, it burned for 2 days.
Right.
The following day, a storm came through. And not only did it rain, but it snowed. So the temperatures significantly changed. It snowed up at the tops of those mountains. And not only usually occurs once every couple years, just on a random cold
mm-hmm.
front.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that. To me was just a little blessing, and I feel like our firefighters do an amazing job. They were on it. It was they took control of it right away as much as they could, and then the weather helped, and I feel like there is a little bit of help in the skies, even though here on the ground we do kind of have to go through the motions and the process and
right.
do a lot of the cleansing, so to speak, here, whether it's psychological or emotional or spiritual or physical.
Right.
And we have to kind of do that work here, but they are working up there. And I feel all I can do is be grateful because it was a pretty, of all the emergency situations, it was fairly benign in the sense that we just had to evacuate for a couple of days and then get back for Thanksgiving.
Well, didn't you ask for help from the Pleiadians to, for this because you felt threatened by the fire? Tell us a little
oh,
bit about
yes,
that.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit
about
that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. We're always kind of making our intentions and saying our prayers, and they're always out there because they offer their help. They are always saying, please ask us for help. We are waiting to be of assistance. And so, absolutely. And that kind of helps to give them the go-ahead.
Hold on, Marie. I just want to tell Nathan. Nathan's my wonderful producer today. Nathan, I just checked Skype, and Simon was active 35 minutes ago, so just before 2. I don't know. Could you try him again, if you don't mind? Okay, thanks. Thanks, my friend. Yeah. yeah, so, well, that's good. They also talk about free will, don't they? And they talk about how they don't intervene unless we ask for help.
Yeah, exactly. And, They definitely want our 50-50 kind of relationship in moving forward, I think, with our planet and with everything that we have to do. They don't want to take over. They want to help.
Right.
So that we need to ask for help in order to really get that help on a physical level. And I feel like too also they're really making themselves known to the people of the world everywhere. And if you are interested and curious about contact, you just put it out there, and next thing you know, you're going to see some interesting things let's just say magic happens, you know, at that point. But it won't happen unless you ask, unless you knock on the door, you know. So
right. Well, tell me this: what messages have they given you, if anything, any more? I could think that'd be great to share with my listeners.
Yeah, well, that's one of them. So contact. They are open and ready and moving into this pretty, I just kind of get this vision of like the forces, like all the forces are out there to contact. And just like down here, you know, we have our scientists and we have our health practitioners and we have our fitness people. They have the same experts up there as well. And so mm-hmm. everybody's going to kind of meet in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
In alignment with their expertise and their specialties and how we can begin to evolve around these darker forces that are sort of pressing us back and holding that technology away.
Right.
We're going to be getting it one-on-one, you know, right directly from the sources. And so I feel like, you know, I just want to inspire people to open up, to receive, and to ask for contact so that we can begin to move forward together, you know. And
right.
And of course, it's a great conscious awakening, just having any type of experience like that. It makes your day incredible.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, I just saw a spaceship today. Nothing really beats that.
Yeah. Well, I prepped to talk to Simon today, and I've got all these topics to go over with him. But if you like, no, we can't reach him. We don't know what's going on. I hope he's okay. Everyone listening today, please send lots of love and light to Simon. He was on briefly just before 2 o'clock Seattle time, and now he's disappeared. I don't know. Well, anyway, I hope he's okay. I'm going to go over some things on his website because I prepped it, spent quite a bit of time, and I think they're worth talking about. Would you mind joining me, Marie?
I would love to. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, sure. Let's run some of these. The first thing that he had was on the Pensacola Naval Air Station in Florida, and he said, fresh attack aimed at the U.S. Navy, and he wrote that at a naval base in Pensacola, Florida, saw a gunman killed 3 and wound 7 hours before being shot dead. And he writes, now we know the evil elite are sending a signal attacking the U.S. Navy because it's supporting President Trump. Remember when the Pentagon was attacked on September 11th? It was the Navy offices that also got hit hard at the Pentagon. He writes, the evil elite have declared a war on the Navy, and we should expect a kickback, as I know that the Navy has a proud, Constitution-loving American organization which will not take this lying down. They see it for what it is, not some deranged man, but an orchestrated and an elite planning operation to hurt the president and threaten the Constitution. It's interesting that he mentioned this. He just posted this when I haven't heard anything about it in the main media. But I'm not surprised. They don't really have much in our media except weather, traffic, and sports. Nothing against sports, but that's really the sum total. And then they have little stories. But what's your take on that, Marie?
Well, it's interesting that it's a different setting this time. You know, mm-hmm. normally we see it in the schools and with these
right.
young children that are killing each other and themselves, and it's horrific, and nobody can understand it. I still don't.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're seeing it in just a different setting, right, in a military setting where I think, like you said, or like Simon said, it is a little closer to home.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like, to me, they're getting a little too big for their brawn, and they better be careful because, like he mentioned, the Navy is quite proud, and they're not just going to take that lying down.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So.
Sure. Absolutely.
I hope they retaliate a little bit, but of course, it probably was prompted because of the great force that has been coming down upon a lot of these elites. And their situation.
It was about a year ago, and Simon explained to me that there were actually large differences between the different branches of the U.S. military. The Navy is 50-50. It's 50% control, was 50% controlled by the reptilians, with 50% of their officers having actually their free will. That has changed from what I know. As the reptilian influence is getting slowly booted out. But the Navy's been so heavily involved with the reptilians and the negative extraterrestrials since the 50s when Eisenhower signed that agreement in March of 1954. It's called the Treaty of Merida, which allowed the reptilians to abduct and study us humans on this planet in exchange for some of their advanced technology to fight the Russians at the time. Of course, the Cold War is over now, and the reptilians have – they actually abducted 6 million people since that treaty was signed. And thanks to the Galactic Alliance, those abductions have stopped. So their influence is waning. By this time next year, I'm told that the reptilians will be completely off the planet because as the higher vibrations come in, they won't be able to stay. And that's one of the things about the new 5G system. It's more than just a telephone system. It's a system design, a couple of things, crowd control, mind control. Mm-hmm. It can be military, used by the military, and also to harm and destroy, and also it allows an avenue for the reptilians and other negative entities to stay in a lower vibration and stay on planet Earth as Gaia starts to shift into the higher dimensions.
Right.
I wish, you know, it's the reptilians themselves think that they're the be-all and end-all of evolution, and they're kind of like in an evolutionary cul-de-sac. And they look at humans as a food source. They actually eat humans, like we eat chicken or beef. I don't want to offend anybody saying that, but it is true. They do look at us as a food source, and they also look at, they are a resource-driven species. In other words, they look at Earth as a planet to exploit, for humans to exploit. They live off fear and negativity and war and tyranny. And it's a very different kind of civilization. The Galactic Alliance, on the other hand, lives off love and peace and harmony. And we are descended from them. And there are space brothers and sisters. But I don't think, I don't want to run this by you too, Maria. I don't think they want to take over and be another set of controls on us. They want us to make the effort and to evolve ourselves into the higher dimensions. Is that what you're getting to from them? That's why they respect free will?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a combination. I think they're also grappling really with the situation because we have had so much of this reptilian influence.
Right.
From the top down, from the bottom up, from every which way, you know, I feel like our human nature, we are essentially good, and we essentially all just want love and peace and to do the right thing. And somehow everything has gone askew, and no matter where we turn, we're kind of faced with the betting that we've made, literally, because we've agreed to all of this. And that's the problem. We've agreed to it.
Right.
So,
right.
And so that's where the Galactics are saying, well, you've agreed to this, so you have to agree to get out of it at the same time.
Sure, right.
And so there's those of us who are aware of that, and we're like, okay, we're agreeing to get out of it. But we're carrying the rest of humanity in a big sack on our shoulders, and they just, you know, along the way. And I think that's where we're stuck. We need more help in getting out of this situation and just awareness. You know, I've always just promoted awareness. Let's just be aware of the truth and be aware of the lies and of thinking outside the box.
Right.
And then work on that intensive co-creative aspect. So, you know, for me personally, I get stuck down these rabbit holes and seeing how far in the trenches our world has really actually come, you know, with just the constant war and the corporate takeover and everywhere we turn, we're being sickened, literally. And yet, and it's easy to get stuck and saddened and depressed off of that.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly reminding myself and others to, yes, that is the case. However, that's the only way we can change it is by also putting a lot of energy and focus and awareness and attention and action into the positive into creating a better world.
Oh, wonderful.
We can only cry about it for so long.
Right.
And we've got to do something. You know,
right.
And we're all amazing. Humanity is amazing. That's why I don't understand why we're stuck. Like, we're such amazing people. Why are we still dealing with all of this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I think things are slowly changing. I have to tell you, getting back to the California fires, we've got lots to talk about. And if we don't finish at the top of the hour, we've got another hour free. So no worries. But when I went to school at the University of California, Berkeley in the 70s, annual fires like this in California never existed. But it's becoming an annual occurrence now. And I guess one of the questions I was going to ask Simon, and hopefully he can come on next Friday, is the cabal trying to destroy California and push everyone into the cities under Agenda 21? And also, are the negative elements trying to destroy the produce produced and the fruits and vegetables produced by California? Because I think California produces like 1/3 of the nation's fruits and vegetables. And it also has an economy, I think, that's 9th largest in the world. What's your take on that?
You know, I don't.
You live there.
I don't know.
Yeah, you live there.
I do. I live here.
Yeah,
and I am used to having fires, although let's just say they have increased like 100-fold. You know, normally we'd have a terrible fire every 10 years.
Right.
And now it's a terrible fire every month or two.
Right.
Somewhere.
Yeah,
in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's a couple things going on. I think there is some. I don't think that all of them are accidents.
No.
I do think maybe we can throw a percentage of accidental or lightning strikes. But there definitely seems to be some weird method to the madness. And with the weather control, the air out here is a little different. I mean, it's always been dry, but before these fires, you can snap your fingers and light a spark.
Oh,
it's
my goodness.
It's so static and
it's
so kinetic, the air.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's something weird with that. And then, I just don't understand how they just keep happening.
There's,
you know, it's like, they don't, we never get any answers.
Right.
I mean, for a while we could blame the power companies that their lines kept falling and which we did, and we sued them, or not we, but you know,
the people did.
But but now it's not. I can't really say that that's viable per se for all of this activity. I mean, again, our technology is better than that in the sense that our technology shouldn't allow all these wires to drop and burn the entire state of California.
Yeah, let me share something with you. It was about a year ago when there were so-called fires in Paradise, California, and Malibu, California. And at about 2 weeks after those events, a week or two after the events, I was contacted by the spirits, the people who died in both Paradise and Malibu, California. And the mainstream media, the controlled media, said that there were, I think, 62 or something, not very many, less than 100 people, for example, in Paradise. And when talking to the spirits on the other side, oh, no, it was more like 50,000 people. Because if you look at statistics for the city of Paradise, there were like close to 100,000 people living in that area, and suddenly, you know, 95% of them are just gone, period. They're all burned up. And then the other thing, too, and in Malibu, California, the same thing. There were like 30,000 people dead. And people went out and took videos, posted them on YouTube, on the Internet. And one of the shocking things that I saw were two different videos. One was of the main road going out of Paradise, California, and the cars on the highway. Believe it or not, there was nothing burned around them, but inside the cars, there was one in particular. Well, the two examples, I'll give you both. And if you find this offensive, just please tell me and I'll stop. I won't go into too many details, but there was one where apparently a single mother with her baby strapped in the back seat had both been burned up inside their car. And and nothing outside of the interior of the car was harmed, was burned. Just there you could see the beams coming through the top of the car. And that really affected me. I thought, oh my God, this poor lady, single mother and her baby, gone. Just snap your fingers, gone. That wasn't a normal fire. And then the second thing that I saw was a videotape of a school bus found inside of the burn zone in Paradise of where the top of the bus had been burned apparently by particle beam weapons. And one eyewitness said that they saw children inside being, for lack of a better term, fried inside the bus through a particle beam weapon. That was definitely not a fire. And where's the FBI? Where's the government? How come no investigation's being done? Maybe some investigation's being done. I don't know. But there's nothing about that.
Yeah, there's no follow-up.
There's nothing. And the whole place was then sealed off and taken over by the military. But what about all those families? I mean, they had lives and they had children. They're all gone. But there's been no, I mean, it's nothing there. But getting back to my point about your fires and what these fires do, many of them are instigated by what's called laser beam weapons, which is reptilian technology. And I just want to share this article. It was released, for those of you in the Los Angeles area, it was released on Fox News Los Angeles. They had a story on it, I believe, on November 27th, just before Thanksgiving. And I remember the announcer, I was watching this clip on Fox News. They shared it, and they had this broadcaster extolling the values and the virtues of having particle beam weapons, how the enemy will not know anything that hit them. But they're actually particle beam. They're laser weapons fired from the sky by Air Force planes, and you can fry an enemy before they even know what's happening. But it appears that these particle beam weapons were used in Paradise and Malibu, California, to kill somewhere around 80,000 people, and there's no investigation on it. And there's reports now I'm getting from some of my other friends in California, too bad I don't have them on the show today, who said that they've seen the evidence of the same kind of particle beam weapons being used in different parts of California to start fires as well. Actually, there was an instance a month ago of the Getty Art Museum in Los Angeles, and it looked like somebody was using a flamethrower or particle beam weapon on the hillsides around the museum to start a fire, which was actually put out eventually. But they had a videotape on it about the whole thing happening actually on YouTube. I watched the whole thing, and I was just amazed. Where's the investigation? If I see it, other people must see it. How come there's no follow-up? What's happened to all these people who have died in these fires? How come nothing's being done? There is something. The reptilian, this is reptilian technology, and the reptilians, of course, want to decrease the population here on planet Earth by 95% so they can take off with our resources. And if it was the reptilians, then I wish somebody would tell us. But it's not. There's a lot of unanswered questions with these fires happening.
Yeah.
And they're getting to be almost too regular. Why is it now that it's every year when you never had this? Back in the 70s when I went to school at UC Berkeley, once in a while they have a fire, but nothing like this, not an annual occurrence. So things have definitely changed. This area where you were, it wasn't burned before, was it? Was it protected more or less? Or
It had burned like 20 years ago, but we had had fires to the north of it and fires to the south of it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the largest fires in California history, the Thomas Fire, burned, I think, 500,000 acres or something.
Mm-hmm.
So there was nothing left to burn besides this. I mean, it's a very small section of this mountain range, the Topatopa Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a small section, small green little patch, and fire lit right in the middle of it. I mean, it was like perfect.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
If you wanted to like do some damage to that particular area, they did a good job as far as, but then it was just so obvious to me, you know. I'm like, how? And the strange thing is they're preparing us all for a fire.
Right.
You know,
right.
Be prepared. We could have, and here's the other weird thing about the California fires. Again, it used to just all be in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting these winter fires.
Right.
In the middle of winter. And so they're very, very suspect. And I think, again, we just have to keep asking questions, but nobody's giving us answers. So that just forces us to come to our own conclusions, you know, and then we can run off with like crazy with it all.
Sure.
So I don't know.
Well, I think eventually the truth will come out about what's happening with this. And I know we're getting help from the Pleiades. They've got over 2 million ships circling the planet now. And all we have to do is ask them for help. And so I'd like for everyone listening today to please send lots of love and light to our Pleiadian friends. They're in force here. around the planet. The name of the Pleiadian admiral who's in charge of all the ships is Admiral Hilarion, and I want to say hi to Admiral Hilarion on behalf of all my listeners, and please send them lots of love and light. Thank them for being here, for helping us, and let's ask them for help with both the fires in California and to help our dear friend Simon, too, in England if he needs help today, because it's unusual for him not to respond to emails and Skype requests, but hope he's okay. The other thing I wanted to go over quickly would be, we've got lots to go over, but with the rising vibrations, there was a post on Simon's website about Indian police shoot rape and murder suspects. And I'll just read it to you. Just a few hours after, on behalf of my Connecting Consciousness organization, called on the Indian government to do more to protect women in rape cases, they learned that four men accused of rape were taken outside a police station in India and shot dead by the police. There's also been huge demonstrations in India in support of women. And Connecting Consciousness did not bring about these reprisals. We're just in touch with the feelings and emotions of the majority. And often my posts are just hours ahead of emotion pressing itself in the human mind. And then in Mexico City, just before Thanksgiving, there were huge widespread protests about women's rights targeting a monument in a museum there as well. And I know it's happened in other parts of the world. Of course, this wasn't reported in the mainstream press. Not much is reported in the mainstream press nowadays. But at any rate, I think as the vibrations of the planet go higher and we get ready for ascension into the fifth dimension, people will be demanding their human rights, and especially women, too. And that's good. This is a good thing. This is happening. Anyway, Marie, I'd love your comment on it.
Well, unfortunately, women and children and animals have always been sort of taken advantage of.
Sure.
And I, as a woman, of course, feel very grateful for the time that we're in the country that we're in at this time, that we do have, you know, it's the best so far. However, mm-hmm. we are still battling the undercurrent of what still is.
Sure.
And there's a lot of aggression,
right.
a lot of sexual violence. You know, it seems mm-hmm. like pleasure and violence get attached to sexuality, and people's own issues get attached and projected to their spouses and their children, and women are still battling as a society,
mm-hmm.
and it's very unfortunate because I feel like the men, again, you know, our true nature is just human beings. I keep just calling it, let's just talk human to human, not
right,
man
right.
to woman or
right, right.
or
mm-hmm.
let gay touch straight or whatever. Let's just talk human to human.
Right.
Forget about all the other stuff. And
mm-hmm.
and still sometimes that's very difficult for people.
Sure.
And so that's what kind of blows me away, because I feel like I try to just get on the human to human level.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's all sorts of managed issues within individuals, as a society, it just creates sort of a soup that, again, we kind of have to trudge through. I feel like we have so much as humanity to continue to work through, because, you know, if we're hurting the most vulnerable people in our world, women, children, and animals, I mean, what does that say?
Yeah, right.
What does that say?
Right.
You know,
right.
And as a woman, like if I ever saw a man, you know, talking bad to my dog or whatever, or
sure.
it's like, okay,
sure.
no chance.
Sure.
Adios.
Yeah.
That clearly says something, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's
absolutely.
Sad for me, because as a woman, we've experienced it, and I still
sure.
experience it
sure.
every single day on some level. And it does give me a little anxiety with my children, who are daughters, that they will at some point be assaulted just because
Marie?
They're a woman.
Marie.
Yep.
We've got a minute left.
Yeah.
I'm gonna, if it's okay, I'd like to hold you on past the top of the hour.
Sure.
And President Kennedy has just come in, and he wants me to play this now.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My my fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
And women. Marie, thank you so much for coming on. Please stay hold on to the top of the hour. My friends, we haven't been able to reach Simon today, but we have lots more to talk about during our next hour, so please stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes after this station break.